Yeah. So Ernesto's not here, so then that'd be Bernard. Okay, go ahead, Dwayne.
Howdy.
Okay, so this is the lightning round. Okay.
Exactly, the quick fire challenge. So you got to watch Bravo to know what I just said.
I'm ordering a t-shirt.
Dave, Top Chef. Top Chef. Dwayne Bradley.
See, I thought you were busy working at that time of night.
I wanted to begin my remarks by asking if the board received the LSB chair report from Houston. I got it via email. I think it was sent to both Greg and Dave to go to all of the PNB members. If not, I can recap what the Houston board chair, Susan Young, had to share.
Hang on just a sec. Okay, go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. So I can share some of our board chair's remarks if that's something that y'all would like me to touch on. But just to keep it brief, I want to spend most of this time thanking people. And I'll start with Lem Lem and everybody from KPFA who has, I think, done an amazing job of treating us amazingly well here. Been here since Tuesday night myself. And Donna Gates is I have made a daily appointment with her just to ask her if anyone had yet told her today that she rocks, because I think she needs to hear that relatively often, and I promised her I'd tell her that at least once a day. The national staff has been very helpful, and it's been great getting to visit the station. It's been great going over to the national office. Greg and Lonnie and Yolanda and the staff over at the national office. In particular, just on a personal note, I want to thank Ben Garcia for essentially jetting myself and Indra and Kathy from WBAI. Somehow in the short span of a couple of hours yesterday afternoon, we went to, from Lombard Street to Sausalito and ended up having dinner in San Francisco. And it was the first time in my almost 5 years of coming to meetings like this in the Bay Area that I've actually gotten into San Francisco. So that, to me, was a very special treat. Also, I want to thank the members of the PNB. I know that y'all do this out of love for what we all share, which is this radio network. And in particular, Phil and Deb and Teresa and Doc from Houston. And a special extra thanks, Doc, for your work with the Program Council in Houston and for the Personnel Committee's work in the retreat that we got to share. And I just don't want it to go unremarked that when we broke up into those different selection groups the other day during the retreat, and you could choose to be in the self-selected management group that met in the devil's room, and or you could be in the boardroom, which was the nut room. So somehow it all works out perfectly. Most of my information is in this report. You know, I don't have a whole lot to say beyond that. I know that the folks who are listening or who are not carrying one of these big binders around may not have it, but I'm certain it all gets posted. I know that all of my reports are available online through KPFT's website. Just to touch on a couple of things I've heard mentioned here in terms of technology, I heard a mention of internet stations at high schools that was a project that Otis, the former program director, and I had started to work on. It was actually with community organizations like the SHAPE Community Center and some community organizations, and it's not really worked out all that well, but what has worked well is the new program director, Ernesto, and I wish he were still here to speak to this. I went looking for him during our technology conference chat earlier this afternoon and found out that he was already back in Houston somehow. But Ernesto's been responsible for the creation of something called New Voices, which is an ongoing training program, especially geared to youth and women and people of color, bringing in, essentially the voiceless and bringing in the future of KPFT's voices, and has, with a little bit of help from me, but not much really, created a Saturday evening youth-oriented program that the kids do themselves called Whippersnapper Radio. That's, I think, a really phenomenal 30-minute chunk of radio that's a great access point and also a great mode of outreach to the youth community and to the future community of our network. In terms of some technology things that I didn't write into my report that I wanted to mention, we've been having some ongoing issues with our repeater station down in Galveston, 89.5 FM, and some complaints, a complaint that was filed with the FCC by someone on the island of Galveston claiming we were stepping on his ability to hear a little rock and roll college station from down along the coast. And so John Krigler and I have been playing games with the FCC for 3 or 4 months now. And with our chief engineer, we seem to have worked things out by lowering the power of our repeater station to 20 watts and turning it off on Friday nights so that this community college station can simulcast high school football games. And they seem satisfied with it, and so for a couple of hours each Friday night, we're not actually broadcasting in Galveston. And it seems that everything's going to work out there, and the 89.5 signal is probably going to stay. John L. Mella, I want to thank him for a lead on a delay system for the station. We may be the last in the network to still be actually live and vulnerable at all times, with lots of phone calls and people making mistakes and sometimes using one or three of George Carlin's words. And John gave us a lead on a good used digital delay unit, and our chief engineer was actually in contact with the guy who had it, and we worked out a deal to trade him an old Gentner phone system that he wanted straight up. So we're getting our digital delay essentially for free. Saving about $2,500. So, thank you, John.
Okay.
And I did want to just briefly say something about our transmitter. We're very proud of the fact that after all of these years of broadcasting at 27,000 watts, that sometime in about a month we're going to power up KPFT's new transmitter and broadcast at 100,000 watts for the first time in almost a decade. We'll be sending our engineer up to New York State to Armstrong Transmitters to actually test the equipment in about 2 or 3 weeks. A couple weeks after that, we should have the new unit plugged in Houston just in time for the fall fun drive, which theoretically will be heard by 300,000 more people than possibly could hear it before. So our fall fun drive is scheduled to begin on, I believe, October the 25th. And like everyone else, it is the first step in the new year, and it's also the highest goal for us. So we have high hopes for that drive with the new transmitter, making our signal stronger and reaching a little further. And again, I've got are my board chair's notes here. I can refer to those, and I'm ready for any kind of questions.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to hear from each of the people, and then we're going to ask questions just as people want to in the round rather than do it one at a time.
Okay.
I also just emailed Susan's report. I went and looked and found it. I hadn't seen it. So everybody will have it in their email. So how about next we go to Mondo and KPFK.
Thank you. Thank you all. First, let me I want to thank members of the board, the Senate, Sir Chairperson Adelson, and KPFA for providing such a wonderful, welcoming environment for all of us who are not from the listening area, and, of course, most importantly, for the folks, the residents and citizens of the Bay Area. Thank you very much. Beautiful city, beautiful suburbs. And I must admit, I did go to Napa this weekend. So I also want to start off, you folks, by saying that I'm here currently representing, to some degree, our general manager, who is unavailable to be here this weekend. And I know that I speak for all of us when we say that we wish her well. She is currently getting better, getting stronger. And so thank you for all of you who've expressed concern to me in the last 4 days. Further, I want to take a brief moment to address one question to the board and to chairperson that in the spirit of some of the discussions that have been here this evening, I'd like to conduct my own little experiment and address the board in a bilingual fashion. And as such, I would request that my time be doubled so as to provide the same amount of information that would be provided in equal language, just because if not, we would have to condense it, and therefore everybody, both in English and language, would miss out on some fundamental points, which, by the way, I want to take advantage of this time to highlight that point for those of you who advocate such a thing, which is clearly a fundamental concern when you utilize such a model.
Bye.
This has my money.
No, I said via thing.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, no, and all kidding aside, as much as I want to do to stress the point, I think I've made the point. And frankly, being bilingual is a way of life, folks. And, you know, I am not going to attempt to manifest that in an audio format, not here and not in radio, personally. And we can definitely engage in a much deeper discussion about that. And, in fact, I welcome all of you. I welcome all of you to, you know, if, in fact, you have, I want to make myself available to engage in a discussion as to how do we address such an issue. For those of you who, I'm sure that you have a lot of folks who can contribute to that discussion in your particular listening areas, but haven't dealt with the issue in my listening areas of Spanish language programming, and please don't make the mistake, please. Don't make the mistake in assuming that because I'm Latino, I therefore automatically am, you know, a Spanish language-driven individual, born and raised in this country. And I, you know, because we're brown, we're not one and the same. And that is a fundamental question also that needs to be taken into account. Let me start off, and of course I can only speak in the capacity as a program director. The report provided by the general manager is in this binder, and if in fact you feel compelled to ask me questions regarding that, keep in mind that I will answer them to the best of my ability. Having said that, KPFK has had recent successes in programming, one of which of course is Spanish language, and I'll leave that to the end. We currently have about 120 radio programmers who share 168 hours a week. Of those 120 programmers, there's an estimated 300-plus base of support staff and volunteer staff, over a dozen of whom are programmers that have come to us in a current capacity as I lovingly call them, our experiments. We do open up the doors substantially. We provide opportunities for people to conduct their own pilots. We don't wait for them to struggle out in the world and come in and do it. We actually provide space and opportunity, and we maintain air spots, time slots open so that they can actually go on the air and start getting some legwork. One of the things that we realized and that we took into account, folks, is that unless you get that one opportunity, unless you take that chance, unless you invest, you're never going to get that audience building potential. And I say that because I've heard this idea, this notion that, you know, we don't have an audience for Spanish language. Well, that's because you're not taking the opportunity to invest in them, folks. And unless you do that, you're never going to have an audience. And you can always continue using that as an excuse. I frankly say, let's come up with some good, valid reasons. But that is an excuse, ladies and gentlemen. We do provide this rotating opportunity. Currently, we're collaborating with a variety of different organizations, both within Pacifica, internationally, domestically, internationally. In fact, right now, on the eve of coming to this meeting, we were able, in the programming side of things over there, we've just scheduled an end of the year process that we go through, where we try and provide as much assistance and work with the programmers. So what we're doing is we're providing some workshops and seminars for all programmers to come in and make sure they're fully updated on the resources that are made available to them, vis-a-vis the production facilities, the on-air facilities, et cetera, et cetera. So it's to make sure that as we come to the end of the year and as we have these discussions about how the year was, let's make sure that everybody's fully trained. And let's invest in those resources for everybody. Our fund drive is coming up, folks, from the 10th through the 21st, I think. And overall, the fund drives of this past year have been successful, with some hiccups along the way that I think have only strengthened and supported the movement that we have there. And by the way, let me say that I think the station, you know, it's a successful station. It continues to grow. It continues to move forward. And that's been only possible because of the contributions, dedications of the wonderful staff that we have that I think is unique and one of a kind. There's a tremendous solidarity at the station, and I would dare say that even with some management, and I think that that has allowed for the station to continue to prosper. Our structure also has a lot to do with it. We have in place at our station two senior producers, one of whom is in fact Alan, who are able to work sporadically and in controlled environments with programmers and provide the kind of assistance and resources that many folks otherwise would not get. And that has also been very successful. Our relationships with the boards, you know, like everybody else, we have our discussions, our arguments, and we tend to settle our real serious arguments the old school way. We go outside and beat the shit out of each other. And the senator over here, you should see him, he has one hell of a taekwondo. Don White, he does. Last week he almost knocked me out. But we have a good, strong working relationship. You know, I subscribe to the idea that, look, if we have challenges, let's embrace those challenges. And the fact of the matter is, you know, I'm not here to sugarcoat it. I got a lot to learn. I got a lot to go by. And if folks can contribute and help to that, then I welcome it. Thank you very, very much, as many of you have in the last couple of days that I've been here. What else? A couple other programming oversight committee, interim program council. You know, I feel personally that I have a great working relationship with some of these folks. Yes, sometimes they annoy the shit out of me, but I love them, and that is a statement of fact. So let me wrap up with a little bit more on this issue of the Spanish language programming by providing an update, folks. The Spanish language program, since its launch, and I want to personally thank those of you who have embarked on that challenge. I know that it's difficult for those of you that are having a hard time. You know, when I came in, being the resident Latino, there was a degree of expectation that I knew was going to be there, but God bless my brothers and sisters. You know, it was like they expected me to hand them, you know, a golden egg, and all I could do is put it in a handbasket and send it to hell first because I couldn't give everybody everything, you know, and I wasn't going to because my job there was as a program director, and I have always said my job there is to ensure that there's accessibility to the air, that there's accessibility, continuous accessibility to this venue that is our radio station. We are beyond that. At KPFK, I feel that we've become a multimedia organization. And in being a multimedia organization whose focus is radio, broadcast radio, our job is to continuously provide those spaces. I thank those of you who have been there before. I thank those of you who have paved the way. You've laid a fascinating foundation, and we're ready to build on it, and that's what we're doing. And Spanish language, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the ways in which we are doing that. Strategically, politically, ladies and gentlemen, this demographic is growing. The last 6, 8, 10 months, we've seen more and more what that it is at the forefront of political discourse in this country, and it is our responsibility as the foundation that we are to ensure that we disseminate news, information, and analysis that is progressive, that is radical, that is educating and providing resources, knowledge, but most importantly, consciousness for an audience who continues to grow, for an audience who we continue to marginalize by putting us in these little 5-minute salsa hours and salsa packets. Without due respect, ladies and gentlemen, we're in 2006. Please do not send me to Taco Bell. Not you, please. And that's what you're doing every time that you feel that you're representing a community by putting us in the little hour block somewhere. Not now, you folks. I look to my African-American brothers and sisters, to my black folk, to continue to lead the way, because you have. We look to you for guidance and direction, not for obstructions and closing doors. Don't commit the mistakes that the white men committed on black folks. Please. We might not always speak the same language. We might not always speak the same language. You know, and that's fine. Let's embrace our differences. Today, that Spanish language newscast that we have launched with many challenges is heard in over 12 of the AMARC radio stations, Asociación Mundial Community Radio Global, six stations.
Radio, right? Comunitario.
Radio Comunitario. Our broadcast in its entirety and or partial is heard in Colombia, Venezuela, El Salvador, 6 different stations around Mexico City alone, Hermosillo, Michoacán, Spain, Italia, and even the Germans are carrying a part of our broadcast. I was about to slip. Don't trip. Because let me tell you, man, I was there in Spain last year, and this big-ass German said, yeah, we'll carry it. And I'm sitting there like, oh, shit, go for it. I didn't know there was Mexicans and Latinos in Germany, and apparently there's a huge number of them. So, folks, again, let's take advantage of this. We're missing out on an opportunity. You know, keep in mind, let me just point out one last point to you folks, okay? Commercial radio saw the necessity and took advantage of it to provide that tad bit extra push that was needed for folks to get out into the streets in Nueva York, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Houston. Commercial radio disc jockeys. And we should be capitalizing on that. There's a fervor in the air and people are saying, wow. Now, don't tell me to stop, big dog. We can take it outside.
I'm sorry. Stop. I just told you it's time. You do
I'm sorry. Okay, now I want to start in Spanish. Para empezar. Unless you're going to tell me some English-only shit, man, we're going to have some more.
Okay, pero en su tiempo debes dar props al productor de Informativo Pacífico.
Yes, and I do want to give some props, again, to everybody. We are currently running 3 newscasts. Fernando Velázquez has done a phenomenal job. Fernando Velázquez, like many of us, is a passionate person, and we all manifest that passion one way or another, and in that process sometimes piss people off, but that's fine. Because if he didn't, you know, I wouldn't want the cat, right? Because he's doing something good, and he's questioning. And I encourage all of you folks to continue to question. Be nice about it. Unless you're big like me, then you can punk people. But other than that, be nice. All right, so I guess thereafter I'll entertain your questions. And
okay, well, we're going to go on to Indra, and then
and by the way,
and Bernard, and depending on how long they go, we may have time for questions or we may not. Indra, are you in the house? There you are.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'm Indra Hyde at WBAI. And also I want to echo Dwayne's sentiments. I want to thank Lemlem and the staff of KPFA for being so hospitable to all of us. And I'm very impressed with Michael Yoshiro's tour and his explanation of some of the technical things that happen over there that we are lacking at WBAI. And I don't know if we'll be able to afford him, but it would be wonderful to have him at WBI for a couple of days. And I'll try to earmark some kind of a fundraising event to make that happen. I also want to thank the leadership under Greg and Lonnie and the national staff, especially Ben Garcia and Donna Gates and all the staff, but especially those two. I want to really thank them for showing us a good time here in Berkeley. It's my first time in Berkeley, and I've really impressed by the hospitality. I don't want to take too much of your time, so I'll just go on to say that I want to also thank the local station board for appointing me as interim general manager 17 months ago. And this perhaps is my last time here as IGM. I'll be going back to my business manager's position. And I want to thank the people who put the faith in me. I want to thank everyone, and especially my staff, Bernard, Kathy, Janet, Jose, and all, and Paul Ashby and Grace, and all, everyone, and also Pete Caracas, who made our archives and podcasting too. So it's a team effort, and I want to say thanks. Without the staff, we wouldn't be able to open our doors or open our areas, so to speak. We have major difficulties in fundraising on air, and that's no secret. And the three major drives did not meet goal, and we had started the year with a deficit. And I am proud to say that we are ending, it seems like we are running out of red ink. So I think we are ending the year with maybe break even or possibly in the black. And I'm not 100% sure about that. Lonnie's not here to give us the update on the figures, but we only owe, as far as I know, about 40,000 in central services for this year, and another 50,000 in accounts payable. So it's about 90,000 we're carrying over, and I suspect our bank accounts has about 125,000, except for the legal expenses. I think we are doing fairly well, despite the hurdles and financial difficulties. Some of the deficit and the shortfalls from the drive, we reduce it based on teamwork and many community events. We had 12 events in this last fiscal year that raised over $120,000. We had two mail-out to labs donors, which generated another $45,000. And just as recently as last 2 weeks, on 9/12, we had a one-day fundraiser. It's on air, but it brought in another $43,000. This year, we spent like 93 days of fundraising. And, I mean, that number seems like a huge. It's 3 months, over 3 months of fundraising. But one of the things that we are not focusing on is that after the station was taken back, Democracy Now branched out on their own and took a lot of our major donors. And that stream of revenue transferred to Democracy Now. And I've been meeting with a lot of major donors, and they feel, a lot of the donors feel that when they give Democracy Now money, they are giving WBI money. And they're not even aware that it's two separate entities. I mean, most people know it's separate, but they still think it's part of WBI because Democracy Now! Was birthed at WBI 10 years ago. So financially, that's where we are. As far as programming goes, I do not have a lot of input into programming, but I think it's very crucial that we have the protocols and mechanism in place to evaluate all the programs, and it should be some collaboration with management and the programming staff to make that happen. And once we come to some kind of a consensus, I think that's when we should take it to the program council, because the way it's designed right now, it's not working very well. In the subscription department, I'm proud to say that our fulfillment rate went up 5%. And actually, Yes, because it translated to $107,000. So the fulfillment went great, and I'm hoping that in this next fiscal year, 2007, that we can go up to 85%, like most of the stations are doing. However, we have to take off some of the stress on the on-air fundraising and go to off-air, because I mean, I went to a seminar in New Orleans. I'm just sidebarring a little bit, and I was in a seminar where they say that AM radio is dying, and in another 5 years, FM radio is going to lose ground. So we have to play catch up and get with the technology side of things so that we can improve our website's presence and have our name being all over the world. And that can happen only through the website. And another thing in the premiums department is that we are now sending premiums not until the drive ends. We start to send some in during the drive, because it's so many days. By the time we compile all the data, it gets 6 weeks, 8 weeks, sometimes 3 months for people to get their premium gifts. So we are speeding up in that department. Let's see, what else? The website, because of budget constraint, we only can do 2 per year, and the next one is scheduled to go out right after, before the elections process, so that we can have all that information. And the objective is to upgrade our transmitter, to launch a capital campaign fund, and to broaden our subscriber base, which is declining some, and to provide training for our staff. Now, I know Laverne had said earlier that our 20% of our subscriber base had declined 20%. That's true for the previous fiscal year. But this fiscal year, we went up 11%, or our numbers went up 11%. So we were able to gain back some of those folks or some new ones. So that's an accomplishment as well. And that's my report.
Thank you very much, Indra, and thank you for being very concise. Bernard, you got a few minutes, and then we're going to open it up for probably about 10 minutes, 15 minutes tops of questions for the group.
Okay. First of all, I do want to thank Indra for the work that she's done since she's become interim general manager. The skills that she brought to the job were skills certainly that were needed in the period in which she became interim general manager. And I don't know how she's going to go back into the bottle, but we'll see. And also I want to thank the folks here for being so gracious in how they've treated us while we were here. I want to clarify some misconceptions, because there are some definite misconceptions about WBAI in terms of Latino programming. It has been being said that we are against Latino programming. That nothing could be farther from the truth. In fact, we have instituted several Latino programs, one which is an all Spanish language program. Prior to the board making that suggestion, we have a program called La Voz Latina that also contributes to the Spanish language program at KPF, that's coming out of KPFK. We gave some young Latinos a chance, and they came up with a program called Lingua Suelta, which means loose tongue. It is a bilingual program that takes a look at things that are happening in Latin America, and as well as things that are happening nationally and locally. So we've also had an Hispanic arts program that comes on and talks about Hispanics in the arts and in various mediums. So we have been ahead of the curve in terms of that. The problem has come in where we have now this Spanish language news program that we never said that we were not going to carry. That, in fact, when Greg asked for, asked to see a copy of our grid. It was incorporated in the grid. When he asked whether we were going to carry it, we always told him that we were going to carry it. So there was never a time where we said that we were not going to carry it. The problem came in how and when it was going to be implemented. We have a program council, and we have a process that where we have been in discussions with the program council for the last 2 years, talking about a variety of different programs and the need to make program changes, the need to strengthen our program schedule. We needed to take a close look at it because in our station, we don't have a we don't have a development director. So we felt that what we have to do is to really strengthen the programming so that we could increase the amount of revenue that we were generating on the air, because that was the only game in town for us. That's how we raised all of our money. Whenever was needed was what the program department had to raise. If the, our expenses went up, then the program department had to raise that money. If the transmitter went up, then we had to raise that additional money. It was the only game in town. So we were trying our best to restructure our programming in a way that we thought it might would increase revenue. During that period, Inder was a new station manager, and she was not in the loop. So when we gave out a copy of the proposed grid, because the, our program council, after all the discussion, asked me to come up with a grid that would incorporate many of the things that we talked about. It was always a proposal. It was never the never to be considered the final grid. When it was presented to, so I did that. I wrote up the things that we had talked about. I passed them out to the department heads. I passed them out to the, back to the program council. I also gave copies, sent a copy to Indra, who was out of town at that time at a, I think at an NFCB meeting. When, what happened was that I also had a, accompanying that a timetable for implementation, because I know that in Pacifica and in WBAI, if you have an idea, it goes nowhere unless you associate it with some plan to implement it. So the plan, there was a plan that went to implement the idea. I also know that in WBAI and Pacifica, that we are constantly extending deadlines because we seldom are able to do things within the specific period of time. So if you come up with it with a timetable, that enables you to get started. And that's what the timetable was for. There was a panic that went out. Greg Goomer was called in. I was told that if I engaged in any discussion about this, because Indra didn't want it to move forward, that I would be considered insubordination and that I would be terminated. So here we are. We now have a proposed grid that has in it already, from the very inception, the Spanish language program. So I'm being told now that, you know, we don't care about the rest of the grid. I'm only interested in whether you're going to put the Spanish language program on. And I'm saying it is part of a package that we have been working on for several years that we need to continue to work on. And that's where we are right now. So all of the, you know, these claims about us not being in support of Spanish language programming, we were in the forefront of it. We have one already. Yeah, it's only a weekly one, but we recognize the importance of it and put it out prior to anybody else.
Thank you.
Informed dissent. We also, and not only that, we have in every program that has been suggested as a national, that's come out of the national, we have somehow managed to put it on the air.
Thank you. Speaking of Bernard's point, we need to extend time for the questions now because we actually used up the time with the reports. Do people want to spend, let's say, 15 minutes asking questions of the managers who have given these reports?
Yeah,
yes.
You know, I think we also need to be sensitive. Don't we have one report after
Brian is still waiting, and we have to have our attention and clarity and what's about us for that.
Yeah,
and
so I think we need to also just kind of see what Brian's time is too, because it's,
I asked Brian earlier whether he would prefer to do it first or second. He said he was willing to do it second. You okay for another 15 minutes?
Yeah, as long as you guys can hold out. Don't fall asleep on me.
We can't.
I'll take the nap.
Is there a motion to extend? Is there a motion to extend time for 15 minutes, or would we like to move the agenda? Okay. I heard a second. I'm sure of it. Is there any objection? Is there anybody with enough guts to object? No. Okay, so we have 15 minutes for questions for anybody in the management. And who would like to speak? I see Patty, Evelyn, Lydia, Ray, and then I'll look up again.
David.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This actually is a question for Bernard. I'm looking at some of the programs that are on this actually a list here, and I'm wondering if you could tell me what these programs are, because I've never heard or this program. CUNY, a mission deferred. That's one question. And the other thing is... The Women's Collective has one show a month for an hour and has 10 people as unpaid staff members. The Women's Collective also has that 10 people. That's what I just said, 10 people. And so I'm just wondering if you could just tell me first this CUNY Emission Deferred. Is Lengua Suelta already on the air? They also have 10 people in their collective, and they all seem to want to vote. So I'm just curious about how that works. I think we have a maximum bylaws, but the CUNY Emission Deferred, I've never heard that program. Is that on the air now?
Yeah, it is one of the programs that we're giving out, one of the many programs that we're giving an opportunity to come to the airwaves and test them out. CUNY, for those people who don't know, is the City University of New York. And Emission Deferred has to do with what has happened to the CUNY educational system over the last couple of decades and how it is not serving the needs, properly serving the needs of the poor people in New York City, and particularly people of color. So, yeah, we've given them an opportunity to come to the airwaves and do some programming.
When is that show on?
The last Wednesday of the month.
So it's once a month?
Yes, it's once a month.
And it has 14 people on it?
Well, I didn't tell them that they had a quota. they you know, it's a collective of students, of faculty, of alumni, you know, and they all contribute to the program.
The other two is Ethics on the Air and the Open Center Show. When are those programs on?
I don't know what you're looking at, but if you are looking at something with the names, it should have the dates that they're on also.
No.
It doesn't?
No.
It's a staff list. It's a vote for staff. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a voting list for staff, the people that are supposedly spend 10 hours a month in the station for 2 or 3 months.
I don't think this is how you do
it. It's the program director should know the programs. I'm asking him why is it inappropriate.
Does anyone mind if I chair? go ahead.
That's those, all. I'm just asking when these three shows are on.
Those programs come on once a month. See, what we have some, we've always maintained some open spaces to give us the flexibility to bring in programs. And we have them come on sometimes on a Thursday between 10 and noon, or Wednesday between 10 and noon, or on Friday between 11 and 12. Those are the spaces that we have, and we rotate them in, and we let them do programs at that time.
Okay, next is Evelyn.
This one okay? All right. Question for my
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Good.
All right. This is our first time meeting this week.
Yes. At your service.
Thank you, Armando. I would like to thank you for your input and for your dialogue because it was very educational in terms of what we're trying to do in Houston, too. I think it'll help me in my perception, so I thank you for that. Also, for Bernard, would you just, the programming schedule that the grid that you have available, is that on your, is that on the website? We could.
Do you mean the one that I sent to Greg?
Yes.
No, it's not on. No, he didn't put it on the website.
Okay, so it's not approved yet.
It's just, no, it's not approved.
Just
no.
Okay, thank you.
It's just a proposal.
Okay, thank you.
Always verbose. Lydia.
Yes, Bernard. Y'all bet. Anyway, I think that at one point, and I don't know if I'm imagining it or if you actually said it, that you had proposed that the Spanish language program would take the slot of the second airing of FSRN, the replay of FSRN, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, but wouldn't that be kind of like a simple move because it's not like a domino's effect of several other programming? So is there some mechanism, and I don't want to trump whatever your internal mechanism is for program approval, but is there some mechanism then, since that's not going to affect a series of programming changes, to put that into effect now, since it's a simple elimination of the replay and an insertion of that? What needs to take place? I'm still unclear. Like, is there still someone, if you were to propose that single change, who has to make the decision to allow that to go forward, even if there is still discussion around the remainder of the grid, which, by the way, still sounds rather excessive to me. After a two-year period, but that's, again, that's a side issue.
I wish you hadn't thrown that in. I really want to know what you're talking
about.
Up
to that point. Well, I mean, it just, and I'm just going, you know, I can only go by our station's experience where we had to revamp the entire grid, but it didn't take that long. But I know everybody has their own, I want to respect everybody's internal mechanisms, so.
Well, we haven't had we've had a series of different station managers,
right,
too. So our experiences are a bit different.
Different. I respect that.
First of all, we're going to play it Monday through Thursday because Friday we don't have a late news, which means that, you know, the other part will be on Sunday. And we look at our schedule holistically. We look at it in holistic terms, as opposed to just, well, I know that, you know, there's a major interest in this particular program, but we have an interest in all of our programs. And we want to look at it holistically, make the changes, and have the authority, which we should have, to go forward with making the adjustments. Of course, since that one would be easier, it would be probably one of the earliest things that would be put into place.
And so do you have a projected time for that? When do you think?
Yeah, as soon as we're allowed to move on with our changes. I mean, you know, that to me, they're tied together. Which shouldn't be long. I mean, all it has to do is say, look, you can proceed with the process of putting the changes in place.
I'm going to have to be a little stronger on time because we've got now another five
Thank
people
you.
Each who want to
You're
ask. So, you remember that Richard Pryor thing about fighting Ali when he says he glitches, he lets you go, he says, take that with you. The way he, forget it.
He's not as funny as he thinks he
Ray,
is.
Ray, no, I'm totally, No, you had to have seen Pryor do it. You had to have seen Pryor do it. I'm just loopy right now. Actually, I'm going to turn over the chair. I'm so loopy. Here's this is what remains. Ray.
Yeah, well, I just would express a lot of satisfaction with what I've heard, you know, in different reports. I'm kind of tired myself, so I'm sorry we didn't have separate reports and comments on all of them. So I thank you and congratulate you. We look forward to working with you. I'll just add on a personal note that there's one name which hasn't been bandied about. Many people might not even know who he is. And this is Rafael Renteria, an individual who has pushed in a dogged fashion in the past to get the Spanish language program in the air. And he's not in the picture, but I do remember him when I hear it. And I'm sure he's proud of it right now somewhere. Thank you.
For those of you who aren't aware, Rafael has had for quite some time now a series of health problems and challenges. And you know, I've actually recently spoke to him, and he's hanging strong and he's doing well. And you know, I'll let him know that his name was expressed, and I'm sure he'll be happy to hear it. And yes, Rafael has been very motivating, and he's pushed the agenda. I do thank him very much publicly here and now.
Alan?
The KPFK...
Is this on?
Yeah. KPFK Fund Drive is from October 10th to October 22nd and maybe a few days past that.
Don't say that.
and the goal is $980,000. Just simple for Indra and Dwayne, when do your fund drives start? What are the goals? And what are the dates? And
can you send us an email of your best premiums?
Yes, and who do we contact to get your premiums, and we can send our premiums, and maybe Bernard is better suited to answer the second half of that than Indra, but maybe not, I don't know.
Okay, our fund drive starts Wednesday, October 4th, and ends October 28th. And the goal is $900,000. As a matter of fact, 2 years ago, all our drives, the goals were $1 million each. Last year, we lowered it to $950,000 for the major drive. This year, the next budget, which is next, begins. When is next year begins? Monday, first of the new year. And we lowered it to $900,000. So while our expenses are going up, we've been lower the on-air drives.
All right. Houston dates for the fall drive. We start ours on Wednesday, October 25th. It runs through November 12th. And the goal is $340,000.
Who do we contact? Do we contact you for exchange of ideas?
No, please don't.
Ernesto?
Contact, as far as premiums, finding out what the... Well, ours is after yours. We're going to be contacting you.
Yeah, we'll send them to you, too.
Membership department. Her name is Robin.
And who do we contact at BAI?
Contact me or Kathy.
Dwayne. Dwayne, would you tell them about the Crank Radio and also about the last premium that was so successful and maybe why, from the one from our archives about with the concert?
We use the Crank Radio already.
Excuse me, Alan, are you done? Are you done? Or are you still in the?
Oh, I'm done. Except I'm worried about. Aren't you worried about that overlapping the U.S. elections?
Thank you. I'm worried about a lot of things. That's not that great of a concern. A little bit.
Thank you. Teresa?
Bernard and Indra, what would you recommend in regard to some questions about when you have when you're trying to conduct business governance and you have, for example, let's say 40 people involved in three co-op type programs. So 40 people are voting and they're coming from three programs. Who's going to monitor if those people actually put in the work to qualify as a program? I mean, who keeps the timesheets for that to see if they've put in the time to qualify as staff? voters to qualify staff? Who's doing that? Or what recommendations do you have to kind of try to confirm the legitimacy in the voting process there, qualifying those people as voters?
Well, it's not my job, is that? I mean, I don't.
Whose job is it? I mean,
I don't know. What happens is that, you know, we hear their voices, we see them at the station, and they generally sign up at the station. Is there a specific
Do you keep time
protocol?
Sheets? Do you keep
no,
time
we don't
sheets?
Have time sheets.
Like when our volunteers come in, they fill out a time sheet, and I believe our membership director works with our isn't it the membership director keeps tabs, a tally of how many hours, and when you every time you come to the station, you say, I work from 2 to 4, or something like that.
That's a good practice, but we don't have time sheets.
Thank you, Teresa.
The volunteers who do tally. When we have fund drives, all the volunteers, we do have those information in the subscriptions database. The people who answer phone calls and come to the station to help in different department. The on-air people we do not have any timesheet for, but it's something we should need to
do.
Could
you
do that during the pledge drive?
Yeah, when we have pledge drives and the volunteers who come to help out in different departments, we do have those records.
But
as far as the program, the people who are on air, I do not have anything for them.
Or any of the producers or people that do the research in the background for programs, you don't ask that they, as an ongoing thing, keep tabs of how many hours they're putting in to qualify to vote in elections.
No, we just take their word for it.
Director from New York here, he said he can clarify a little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah, as a member of the Unpaid Staff Organizing Committee, our committee has coordinated this with the local election supervisor. There is a protocol that he's agreed to by which every person who says that they're a member of the unpaid staff fills out a form detailing the time commitment that they have invested to qualify according to the definition in the contract, which is 10 hours a month or 20 hours every 2 months for a period of 4 months. And that's then posted publicly, subject to challenge, reviewed by management. So if management thinks this person doesn't do the work, they could challenge it. Another staff member could challenge it, or anyone could challenge it. And then it's reviewed by both the union and by management, and ultimately decided by the election supervisor. So there's a cross-check system in place.
Thank you, Bob. We have 4 minutes left in the real time here, and so we have a couple of people here. Lavarne is next. Lavarne.
Thank you. Couple of comments or questions. On WBAI, I'd like to thank Indra for the success that she's had over the period that she's been in as interim IGM, and I think that's very good. You said you did the one-day fundraising, and I know that you're working on the total days of fundraising for BAI, because as we talked about, both listener and staff fatigue. I forgot to mention with A about the labor collective, and I really appreciate Lim Lim says that they're working on that for a successful outcome, and I think that's what we all want with the labor collective and the banning of not the collective but the production of proposals for the let me just continue. And also, Kay, really appreciate that report. And it sounds like, you know, you guys are doing the stations that Democracy Now! Perhaps is doing, or perhaps you should make sure you do all the stations that Democracy Now! Is doing. And on T, I'd like to congratulate Dwayne, and I can see that $100,000 kind of going back to National now.
Thank you. Ray? Ray? Ray, go. Ray, you want to be on? All right, that's it. So that item is over.